Hare Krishna. Any questions from anyone? Yes.
In our new song book, we're praising like three marks in one line with our mark. So I just want to know what are they? Maybe you can explain. Like here's Akara Madharaja Chichitani Matki Jaya Tadiya Shakra Matki Jaya Chichitani Siraslav Matki Jaya Vishva Vyapi Tadiya Shakra Matki Jaya.
What's being referred to are the original mats that are founded by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Gaudiya Mat in Mayapur, of which, so Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. What is it? Why is it Saraswat? Means Saraswat means the followers of Saraswati Thakur. So it's from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Saraswati Thakur. In his famous sloka, the Bhakti Vinod Viraha Dasakam, so Sri Gauranumutam Swarupaviditam Rupagrajanadritam Rupadye Pariveshitam Ragugunay Ganay Ashraditam Shevitam. Jivadye Abhirakshitam Sukashiva Ramasamanitam Sri Radha Parasevanam Ritamaho Taddatumisho Bhavan. We need to know what does it mean? What was it that Srila Saraswati Thakur is trying to establish? What is a mat? What does it represent? What is the Chaitanya Saraswat mat? What does it represent? What was the idea of Saraswati Thakur's concept with Gaudiya Mat, etc. So Guru Maharaj says, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat means from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Saraswati Thakur and his followers. That is Chaitanya Saraswat. And what is Mahaprabhu all about? Sri Gauranumutam Swarupa Biditam. Here in this sloka, Guru Maharaj is saying that the full purpose of the descent of Mahaprabhu, that is known fully, only fully known to Swarup Damodar. Right. Swarupa Viditam, Swarup knows. In Chaitanya Charitamritam, in one place, is what is he called? Swarupair, the Krishna Prem Bandar. He's the, like of the storehouse of Krishna Prem, he's the keeper. Like in India, in the Mats, they have someone called the Bandari. He's in charge of all the supplies. The Bandari holds the key to the room, and in the room, that's where all the wealth of the supplies of the Mat are. So in Charitamritam, they're saying all of the wealth of Mahaprabhu, Swarup is the Bandar. Swarup Damodar, he's in charge of that. Right. And then we have to understand, why was he selected randomly? Who is Swarup Damodar? Then we look to Krishna Leela and we understand from the acharyas that Swarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi. Who is Lalita Sakhi? Like one of her names is Anuradha. That means who's, there's Radha and then Anuradha, the one who's just next to Radha. And we find in some instances, Pragalbam, in the sloka written by Rupa Goswami, she's even sometimes chastising Radharani and telling her, trying to build up her confidence, her assertiveness. So Lalita Sakhi holds an extraordinary position. It's Rupa Goswami is glorified in the Lalita Astakam. It says, Radha Mukunda Parasam Bhavagarma Bindu Nirmanchano Pakorani Krita Deho Laksham Uttunga Sohrida Vishesha Vishat Pragalbam Devim Gunai Sulalitam Lalitam Namami. I think, why is she so extraordinary? In this Astakam, he's going to identify what are unique traits and characteristics of Lalita Sakhi that define her, spiritual personality, her level of devotion, magnitude, intensity. If she's Radharani's, you know, chief assistant, how inconceivably qualified she must be. Right. So here, what's being told is that Rupa Goswami is saying her mood is that not the least remotest disturbance will come to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Right here it says Mukunda, means Krishna. How? What does it tell us? That she has the greatest magnitude of intensity toward the least seva. This has to be understood. She has the greatest magnitude of intensity and eagerness for the least seva. Normally, we hear when someone's expressing some sort of intense loyalty, their willingness to give up their life for the cause. But here, Rupa Goswami says, Deho Laksham means she's willing to take on 1,000 bodies to serve. It's a different concept that's being presented. One, sacrificing one's life. Here, no, she's willing to take on 100,000 other forms to serve, to make sure not the least disturbance will go into that plane. So it's a very, so he's saying devim gunai. Devi is a mystical word, actually. Devim gunai sulalitam lalitam namami. Why is she called Devi, this resplendent, shining, illuminating goddess, because of and he has a double wordplay, Lalita, Lalita, Sulalitam, Lalitam. She's attractive by these qualities. So she knows everything about Srimati Radharani, and in one sense, she knows some things that Radharani does not know about herself. How is that possible? Because when we hear in the Brahmar Gita and elsewhere, divine madness expressed by Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna, where she has ostensibly lost her mind. She may be saying so many things, expressing so many things, sometimes fainting in separation from Krishna. Lalita Sakhi knows all of this. Radharani may not know what happened, but Lalita Sakhi knows. So that's how we can say she knows more about Radharani than Radharani knows about herself sometimes. So, it's really, Guru Maharaj said, someone will ask, well, why are we taught Rupa Anuga? It could be, you know, the Radha line, the Lalita Sakhi line, Rupa. There's some reason for that. Her principal assistant being Sri Rupa, by extension, Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Rati, Rupa Raghunath, Pade Jarash, Chaitanya Charitamritam Kohe Krishna Das. So, the point is that, so when Krishna is descending as Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, he will be enveloped in the heart and halo of Srimati Radharani. In a sense, he doesn't know what he's in for. This is terra incognito. Right? Her, the domain of her heart, Radhabhav, that is an unexplored world to him. Even before his descent, he says, omniscient, omnipotent Krishna says, I cannot estimate the depths of her love for me. I cannot estimate the limits of her love for me. Someone with a lesser conception of divinity might say, well, I thought God's supposed to know everything. Divine not knowing has to be embraced. And say, well, if we're going to talk about these things, be connected, we're going to have to completely give up our present conception of ourselves and be remade over in the image and likeness of Krishna's devotees. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful opportunity lies before us. You know, Guru Maharaj's favorite saying, one of his favorite, die to live. If you want to live in that plane, you have to die as you are at present. There has to be a death. What was Gurudev's famous talk? Dissolving the demolishing the pillars of ego? Demolishing the pillars. That's they've formed the structure upon which this false notion of self is situated. It has to be 100% dissolved. Die to live. Yagye sankirtana pray jajantihi sumedasa. Yagya means really where the valuable thing is offered into the fire and comes out more valuable through sacrifice. So we offer the idea of being, we offer ourselves into the fire of self-sacrifice and come out with a new form. Muktir havanyata rupam swaropena vivastiti. So, Krishna, we hear Vasu Ghosh, Jadigor nahoita, Tabiki hoite kemone daritam dehe, Radhar mahima, prema, rasa, sima, jagata janata ke. Said, if Mahaprabhu had not come down, we would never know how great Radharani is. I think, no, but this is the Krishna consciousness movement. We would have never known how great Krishna is. They're saying, like, everybody knows how great Krishna is. Where have you been? It's like the time Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in the beginning days in New York on the Lower East Side, the East Village of New York City, where his original matchless gifts temple was. And he's trying to make some references with the local people, talking about Krishna. And he said, so, you know, we've all seen pictures of Krishna on the calendar or posters in the marketplace. And there's a dead silence in the audience. And you hear Prabhupada on the tape go, oh, like that. Ooh, it suddenly occurs to him, these people have never seen a picture of Krishna. He's saying, we've all seen, you've seen Krishna on the poster, the calendar we get every year. And they're all like, no, we haven't. The only place you would see a picture of Krishna in those days was in a so-called head shop. Do we have to define what a head shop is?
Maybe a lot.
A library for hippies. Anyway, this place where they sold, let's say, hippie paraphernalia, they would have posters of Krishna or little bumper stickers and deglo of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But what I'm saying is, interestingly, so for the devotees, by devotee we mean Krishna and Karshna. Karshna means those who belong to Krishna. They're saying, they're ecstatically saying, if Mahaprabhu had not, we wouldn't know how great Radharani is, how great her love for Krishna is, how great she is, that we wouldn't know. So they're giving so much praise. And what has happened, like in the song, Saraswat Arati, what is it? Radha Rasa Troyoshada? Louder. Radha Shyama Eka Tanu, but what else? I'm talking about the line where Radha Rasa Troyoshada. It's saying he is relishing what Radharani is. And then Radharani seeing, anyway, we might be combining a couple of verses, but Radharani seeing that now Krishna, under the influence of her Bhavan Kanti, now Krishna is saying, Ami Gauranga Sundar, announces, Shyama Sundar says, Ami Gauranga, I've become Gauranga Sundar. Radharani is, says, Mukahasa, Manda Mukahasa, that she's little smiling. Right? Like the original Mona Lisa smile, this mysterious smile. Why is she smiling like that? To see Krishna. He's now under the influence of my heart. Look at him, how he's transformed. Did you find it? Yes. Right, and the first line is, Radha, Radhasya, Rahasya. Oh, that's secret. Prayas, okay. Anyway, so there, same thing is there. And Guru Maharaj says, this was only revealed, this type of worship, Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Radharani, this configuration, divine configuration, this is what was revealed by Mahaprabhu to Ramananda. Whereas, in contrast, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the great devotee, he has revealed Shadbhuj Murti, six-armed form, two of Ramachandra, two of Krishna, two of Mahaprabhu. Who was Ramachandra? Who was Krishna? Now he's appeared as Mahaprabhu. But that is to certify, to reveal his divinity. But who he is internally, that and the internal reason for his appearance, that's revealed when Ramananda sees. He says, when Mahaprabhu appears as a sannyasi, and at the end of their talk, near the end of their talk, Ramananda says, I see, I'm not seeing a sannyasi anymore, I'm seeing Krishna. Shyama Goparup, Krishna in his Shyama Sundar form. And Mahaprabhu says, oh, that's because you're such a great devotee. Because we've heard there are these devotees, they're so high, they're so exalted, the Mahabhagavatas, they're seeing Krishna everywhere and in everything. Yam Shyama Sundaram Achintaguna Swarupam. So you look at me, you're also seeing Krishna. And Ramananda saying, oh, Lord, please don't play with me like this. I'm not only seeing Krishna, but I see there's a golden girl next to Krishna and her effulgence is covering him. Right? Her heart and halo, in Guru Maharaj's word, Bhav and Kanti. And then Mahaprabhu says, actually, I cannot conceal myself from your loving eye. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. So he's saying, yes, what you're seeing is true. Rasaraj Krishna, Mahabhav Radharani. Rasaraj, he's the king of rasa, but who can extract that? How much rasa from the king of rasa can a jiva soul extract? A drop? Radharani, she can extract fully, predominating moiety, predominated moiety. Supreme positive, supreme negative. She can extract all. That's how her degree of magnitude. Right? Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. So now, as Mahaprabhu, Krishna, the Supreme Positive, has taken the mood of the Supreme Negative and is searching himself. In terra incognito, an unexplored terrain, the divine heart of Srimati Radharani. With Srupa Viditam, Srupa Damodar knows fully well. So he's most qualified. He's with Mahaprabhu, Ramananda and Srupa Damodar with Mahaprabhu behind closed doors in the Gambira. When he's in the last 12 years of his life, incessantly plunging the depths of Radha Bhav. They're assisting him by selecting particular slokas, singing particular songs. Because under the influence of the heart of Radharani, when she's feeling a particular way, Lalita Sakhi, by extension Swarupa Damodar, knows. Then when that mood comes, the sloka will be helpful. When this mood comes, the song will be helpful to augment in different ways. So Sri Gauranavatam Srupa Viditam. That's why the Guru Maharaj is saying, the structure, the steel frame of the Chaitanya Charitamritam is given by Srupa Damodar. So in the beginning slokas, the Adi Lila, Kaviraj Goswami is quoting Srupa Damodar with slokas like Radha Krishna, Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rasmad, etc. So Sri Gauranamatam Swarupa Biditam Rupa Grijain Adritam. And the elder brother of Rupa Goswami, here meaning Sanatan Goswami, he's worshipping this. So what Mahaprabhu is brought down and descended with and is known fully to Srupa Damodar, Sanatan Goswami is worshipping that. Rupadye Pariveshitam Raghu Gunai. And Rupa Goswami is tasting that and in the Bhakti Shastras, extending it to others. Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghu Gunai, Ashraditam. Raghunath Das is tasting that. Raghu Gunai, his group, by extension, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So this Chaitanya Charitamritam really coming from Srupa Damodar to Raghunath Das Goswami to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Jivadhyaya Birakshitam. And Jiva Goswami, Baladev Vidyabhushan, they're protecting this, like Bhakti Rakak, Abhirakshitam, Jivade Abhirakshitam. They're protecting it from what? From adulteration, from those who would challenge its authenticity, its legitimacy. What is being expressed by Rupa Goswami, Krishnadas, and others? Jiva Goswami is giving the shastric basis for such things, as is Baladev Vidyabhushan, Skita Govinda Bhasya, etc. Sukha, Shiva, Brahma, they're all aspiring for a drop of this divine substance. And later, Guru Maharaj added Uddhava, as in the Asam Ho Charanarenu sloka. So, what is it? What is it that Mahaprabhu brought down, that Srupa knows fully, that Sanatan worships, that Rupa is extending, that Raghunath and Krishnadas are tasting, that Jiva and Baladeva are protecting, that Brahma, Shiva, Sukha, and Uddhava want a drop of it? What is it? What is at the heart of all of this? Right? Sri Radha Padasevanamritamaho Tadatumisho Bhavan. Guru Maharaj is saying, the gift of Bhakti Vinod Thakur to the world that's been taken by Saraswati Thakur and distributed through the Gaudiya Math and its descendants, like the Chaitanya Saraswati Math. What is it? Radha Dasyam, the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Sri Radha Pada Sevanamritam, the nectar of that service. Sing aho means, he said, this is your astonishing gift to the world in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Right? Or in this case, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. And as you refer to the mool, the original mat established by Srila Saraswati Thakur, to distribute this divine substance, this is the point. And that's when hearing this sloka, seeing this, it was written in the lifetime of Saraswati Thakur, he said, now I'm satisfied, though I may leave the world, at least one man received what I came to give. And that is Sridhar Maharaj. And even though I may leave the world, at least one man will remain behind who can represent me fully and perfectly. So our interest is, you know, what is the substance being referenced in these expressions? When we chant these prayers, we invoke the names of, you know, Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit Advaita Prabhu, Srivas Thakur. There are so many, we're invoking their names, their presence, their personalities, their devotional mood, and also appealing for their blessings. That's why we're naming these different holy places. So Srila Guru Maharaj, what's given there, he's making reference. How, where was his mat come from? It sprung out of here. Any other question? Yes.
About realizing yourself as a soul, like, what should you do in order to make it as soon as possible? Like, is it somehow connected to that flame where everybody is your guru, or is it some other thing?
Well, remember, on that subject, where we say the world of guru, that means the spiritual world. It doesn't mean just everybody is our guru, right? Guru has to have some qualification, some substance. Is it divine revelation? What's coming through a particular person? Is it divine in character? We're not implying that one should indiscriminately take any suggestion as divine. So, and as far as understanding the soul, we read the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Many different things are mentioned there. Things in the Srimad Bhagavatam and elsewhere. And so we get the impression or the understanding that there's a cumulative effect of hearing about the nature, the qualities, characteristics of the soul, and that becoming a realized position. It's not an intellectual exercise, although certain systematic representations have been given, such as Manasastu parabhute yo bhute paratastu sa indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya parammanaha. This is one sloka from the Gita saying, they're the sense, the objects of the senses. The senses are higher than the objects of the senses. Higher than the senses is the mind, which is the seed of sense experience. More refined than the mind is buddhi or intelligence, which is the discriminating factor that the mind lacks. Finer than that is the soul plane. So it's giving us a systematic way in which we can understand it's something fine and subtle. Okay. And another sloka says, Ascharjava Paschati Kaschidenam. If you'll have a glimpse of that plane, you'll be astonished. So we can understand having a glimpse of the soul plane, a glimpse of our identity, some sense, a glimpse of the its reality, its prospect, will be astonished. So we can understand from our present position that that glimpse may be like lightning, like we're seeing here in the last few days as the rainy season is approaching. There's, when there's lightning in the evening, momentarily everything becomes illuminated. So from our present position, at different moments, we may have some glimpse of Atma, of our spiritual self. But there's no magic wand or trick to turn that on, to leave it in the on position. It will be by cumulative effect of hearing, what, sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, it's a hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, a variety of things at different times will be put in situations where out of necessity we'll have to go deeper. Right? Sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj will say, the message of Bhagavad Gita, one of its messages, is tolerance, to tolerate the environment. Matra, sparsha, stukonteya, shitoshna, sukadukada, agama, payano, nityas, tam, titikshasva, bharata. So Krishna tells Arjuna, there's the summer season, you have to tolerate that, the winter season, the heat of summer, the cold of winter, seasonal changes. Tam titikshasva, titikshasva, tolerate that. Right. In deference to your spiritual nature. Srila Guru Maharaj will say, but Srimad Bhagavatam takes it to a deeper level by saying that actually our karmic circumstances, of which we're responsible for, are arranged in such a way, not only to tolerate them, but on a deeper susamiksha, means examination. Susamikshamano, tatenukampam susamiksha. If you look at them deeply, you'll see in the background the friendly hand of Krishna. Or once Guru Maharaj said, who you thought was your enemy, you'll realize is God. So what to speak of, we're talking about the world of gurus. He's saying, what is part of that culture is to even see that which appears to be opposed to you take on some sort of divine color and characteristic. That's spiritual culture. The more we engage in that type of thinking and doing, we'll be in touch with our actual spiritual nature. So we can understand, at least theoretically, that we're conscious living beings. But we can also add to that that we're covered by layers of acquired prejudice from living in conditional existence. For how long? Since time immemorial. Right? So in that position of acquired prejudice, layers of false ego, how will we come in contact with the self? But what we said before, Guru Dev gave a famous talk called Demolishing the Pillars of Ego. So what is it that will dissolve the false concept of self and promote the proper concept of self? That will be spiritual association, right? Sadhu sangha sarva shastra koi, labha matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoi, told through spiritual association, our position will improve by getting superior association. So it's gradual and cumulative. Everyone would like some sort of like a Hollywood epiphany, right? The twig breaks and you become enlightened. But our concept even of enlightenment is it's not a static state. It's not stagnant. So we're capable of growing. If the finite is going to meet the infinite, come in connection with the infinite, at what point is it stagnant? At what point does the finite, imbibe or contain the whole of the infinite? That's not tenable. But as much as of what Krishna wants to reveal to us, that much we will know about ourselves, about Him, about the Supreme Reality. Yes, yes. Because even in a very high stage, one can fall. So it's called Swarup Siddhi, Vastu Siddhi. So Swarup Siddhi means someone has even reached the point, what to speak of some generic idea about soul, they actually know what their spiritual identity is. But they haven't been Guru Maharaj gave an example, like of a high court judge, someone who's qualified, they've passed the test, they haven't been placed yet. You've passed the test, but between having passed the test and being placed, it's also possible to go down. There are some rare examples of that are given in the scriptures. Jadabharata, some others. So, we're told that Guru, to be conceived as the Asraya Vigraha, the shelter-giving personality. Our strategy, the devotional strategy, is to take shelter of a superior devotee through association and service, and that's considered a safe position. But you heard recently, I used this expression quoting Srila Guru Maharaj about the inner awakenment of a disciple. So according to inner awakenment, not only how we conceive Guru, how we conceive ourself, our notion of self, our conception of self. But that's going to require the dissolution of the layers covering to allow the actual form to manifest. Srila Guru Maharaj has also given an interesting example in this regard about sandalwood and sandalwood pulp. You know sandalwood? It's a type of wood, fragrant wood. Like you've heard of sandalwood oil? Well, it comes from the sandalwood tree. So, and do we have it here? We have it here. So sandalwood, the sevak or the archak who's doing the service to the deity, they take a stone, pour some rose water on the stone, then they take a bar of sandalwood and start rubbing that against the grinding stone. And what happens is the sandalwood stick is transformed into its essence, that sandalwood fragrance comes out and it's in this paste form. But what you'll see happens in time, say the sandalwood stick is like this, it starts diminishing. So the more it's turning into its essential fragrance, it's dissipating. So through apparent self-dissipation, right, by engaging ourselves in service, putting all of our what's available to us at present, what we've acquired, our acquired energy, by dedicating in that in service, that external conception of self starts dissipating, and the outcome is the essence, the real self, the servitor self, Swarup. So this body is the biological expression of the soul's delusion. It's constructed of exploiting tendencies. So as we abandon envisioning ourselves as exploiting agents and become dedicating agents, we start reconceiving that I can achieve my potential, my prospect, my potential, my identity, through service, through dedication, not through exploitation. Tadvidhi prinipatena pariprajnena sevaya. Saraswati Thakur said this when we're bowing and approaching the lotus feet of Guru and bowing. Once he said, that means we're finished with this world. What does that mean? The world where we thought, I'm the center, the egocentric world. I'm the center, and I have, you know, so many friends on Facebook. No, that's one example. But that idea, I'm the Lord of all I survey, I'm the center, the narcissistic center. An egocentric conception of ourselves and the world. Everything's meant to please me. Right? That which pleases me is good, that which does not please me is bad. To reconfigure ourselves along the lines of theocentricity. What's pleasing to Krishna and by extension his devotees. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. A new standard for judging what is good and bad, desirable, undesirable, progressive, regressive, evolving, devolving. New criteria for making those assessments. So then, now, withdrawing from the plane of exploitation, dedicating, putting my energy towards dedication, then we're acquiring dedicating tendencies. As we acquire dedicating tendencies, the old self is dissolving and vanishing, and the new self is manifesting. Once Guru Maharaj compared it to, he said, as you go, say, east, you proceed east, automatically you're withdrawing from west. So we didn't think, well, I want to withdraw from west. No, just go east. Go in the eastern direction, and automatically you'll withdraw from west. That's what it's like. And you'll see yourself in a new light, with a new form that's constructed of dedicating tendencies. All other concepts of self are misconceived identities, false notions of the self. Guru Maharaj says, we learned from Einstein that reality is a thing plus its potential. Our potential is as servitors in the spiritual domain. Without that, to the degree that we are absent, that is absent, we're in an unreal, unrealistic, untenable state of self or existence. So reality is a thing plus its potential. The reality of who you are It's when your serving potential is activated. And that's seva. Seva mayoyam loka, the world of seva. Hare Krishna.